And we are live.
We want the gold, sucker!
Thursday, another week of wrestling in the books. It's your boy Sage the Markets, Real Wrestling Podcast, coming to you live. I know it's been about 2 weeks. I took a week off last week. I'll get into a little bit more specific as to why, but it was for good reason, I promise. And I'll dovetail into it. But as always, y'all go hitch up your boy Sage the Mark, and I guess it would help if I'm always messing up with the live mic, so if you're listening on YouTube, you could probably hear me now. But you're on audio podcast, you're like, what is this dude doing? What is this dude doing? Like, he's just repeating himself. No. I just messed up a little bit, had a little bit of a gaffe, but your boy's back. He recovers pretty quickly. I saw it on the stream deck. That's what we do. Anyhow, it's your boy Sage the Markets, Real Wrestling Podcast. Y'all make sure to follow us on Twitter. At Real WrestleCast on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Got the gram. Hit us up. It's Real Wrestling Podcast, all spelled out. Always use that hashtag IRWP. Let us know how you're feeling about wrestling for the week. Don't forget, we got a contest going on right now. 500 subscribers. We're going to go ahead and give away a $50 gift card to Amazon.com. So be sure that you log on wherever you're hearing this. Make sure you guys jump onto our YouTube channel. Subscribe, like a video. And that'll enter you into a contest for the $50 gift card. Once we hit 500, we'll go ahead and give that bad boy away. As I was saying, last week I did take a little bit of a hiatus from wrestling. It wasn't fatigue. So I decided to do something a little bit different. So as you guys know, I usually watch wrestling via Hulu. And usually, like the day after, I'll binge watch, you know, Hulu and Netflix. Football season coming in, I was noticing that, you know, I got no cable. You know, I got Sling TV. But I don't get to pick up my Browns games, which is kind of disturbing to me. So I was trying to figure out, like, what can I actually do? What can I actually do to rectify this? So, the missus and I was talking and we decided to try out, YouTube TV, and give that one a go and see how that worked out. All last week I was just kind of testing it out from both wrestling and from a football perspective. From football, I was able to watch the games on, ESPN, the NFL Network, and on CBS. So I was able to catch all the Browns games from the week prior to last week. And it was real because I think it was like a Thursday game and then a Sunday game and then a Sunday evening game, Sunday Night Football. So it actually worked out pretty well. The one thing that I didn't like about the wrestling one, and good thing that I still had my Hulu subscription. No, I still had my Sling subscription, so I was able to kind of bypass it. But there's certain shows on YouTube TV that you'd have to that you can like watch on demand, and then there's others that if you don't DVR it or set it up for DVR on YouTube, that you have to wait like literally a week to watch it again, and that's definitely no bueno for your boy Sage the Mark, especially if I'm trying to do a weekly podcast for you guys. on that. So I did. So I was able to kind of figure that piece of it out real quickly. So, you know, now I won't be, I'll be able to catch all the shows. I have it set up for NXT. I have it set up for Raw, SmackDown, especially next week with SmackDown going to Fridays. I'll have it set up there as well. I also have it set up for AEW as well. So I am all set in terms of the DVR capabilities of YouTube TV. I also like the fact that one of the benefits that I like about Hulu when I use the subscription service is, like, if you have different family members, you can set up different profiles, and that works out. With YouTube, you can do the same thing, but it's actually better. Like, you can actually, your family plan can actually be, like, you send them an email address, and then they have their, like, all you do is download the app, or if you're on Roku, whatever, but I download the app, and I beam it to the TV. But I like it because I don't have to worry about signing into a master account. The missus can use her email account. The kiddos can use their email account. And I can use my email account. And we don't ever have to switch at all or sign up on the other devices. So I absolutely like that flexibility. So kudos to YouTube for putting that together. The quality has been outstanding, HD quality on everything that we've been able to watch, and over the air. So that's pretty cool too. And the other thing that I like about it is that now I could finally catch up on Cobra Kai. Because that's one of the things I liked about the premiere. I think it was YouTube Premiere. YouTube Red is what it was called before. YouTube Red will allow you to see, like, the originals, and then you have the no ads, no TV ads, and things like that. So I really liked that for YouTube Red, and I was surprised that I got that same feature with YouTube TV. It's a little steep in the price, but all in all, it's still cheaper than cable. So, you know, I don't really have much of a issue when it comes to that aspect of it. So, and then they also give you like a 7-day trial for it as well. So if you're ever, you know, if you're looking for an alternative, alternative for Hulu, because I know Hulu's going to go through a whole new change with Disney Plus coming down the pipeline. I'd recommend it. Go ahead and check it out. It's actually pretty good. There's no sponsorships here or anything like that. I'm not getting paid to say that. It's just, you know, when your boy gets, when he gets some tech, he's definitely likes to pass on that knowledge to the jobbers that listen to this podcast. So I hope you guys see some value of it. I definitely can't wait till next week though, because we have AEW and NXT. And, you know, and let me just start there. So I did have a chance to watch NXT last week for the first week. And my expectations going into it was that it was going to be a two-hour program for NXT, a two-hour live program for NXT. That was it. It's all going to be on USA. But then I was shocked and surprised that when I watched it, I only got the first hour. And then I had to log onto the network to watch the second hour. And I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. And I talked to Goose, and he was saying that, you know, this is only temporary until like next week or the week after next, when I think Suits is over. And then once Suits is over, then it'll be 2 hours completely on USA, which that's cool. Shout out to Christian Garcia. Says, do you think rumors of Jon Moxley returning to the Royal Rumble is true? I haven't heard those rumors. You know, here at the IRWP, we try to stay away from the dirt sheets. I will chime in on that. I don't think he will be in the Royal Rumble. It doesn't make any sense considering that he just signed a contract with AEW, and I'm pretty sure that they have him locked in for at least a year. So if anything like that does come around, I'd probably say maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, if he's not happy with it. But the condition that he has on his elbow, he should be out for at least another 3 or 4 months. Timing on it's probably not the best. as far as NXT is concerned, I absolutely loved that first hour. I loved the fact that they started out with the ladies. I thought that that was pretty awesome going into it. Definitely didn't see NXT or the North American title being changing hands, but I'm not surprised. I knew that they were doing the whole draped in gold storyline, so it was just, it makes sense to have a title change on your very first debut, which is the same thing that I said about AEW, that I'm saying about AEW. I think that Chris Jericho is probably going to trade titles, or not trade titles, but lose his title at the premiere of AEW on TNT. But we'll definitely, figure that piece of it out. I didn't get to see NXT this week. I will check up on it. I'm still trying to figure out my schedule going into next week. I'm probably going to move the podcast to probably Friday nights instead of Thursdays, so that way I can kind of get the whole week. But, we'll see. It's still kind of up in the air from that perspective. But I am definitely excited about AEW and what AEW has to offer. You guys know your boy is a big WCW fan, and everything at AEW is screaming WCW to me. So I'm hella lit and hella excited for that opportunity. Christian, to be honest with you, Christian in the chat was saying, what about a title reign for Rey Mysterio? I think it's possible. I think you probably want to wait for maybe after Royal Rumble for that to happen, to be honest with you, man. Because right now the storyline is they got a good thing going with the Universal title right now. And I don't think that you muck that up by having someone else go against The Fiend other than Seth Rollins. So that one's probably going to drag out for a little bit, is my thought. So, but going into Raw, I mean, that's a good segue into Raw. The Raw started out with it started out with the Firefly, the Firefly Funhouse, when the montage at the very beginning comes out for, WWE, then now and forever. Well, towards the end of it, you were starting to see and the interception of the transmission and Fiend coming in. So you can tell WWE is really full-fledged, full throttle on the Fiend, and that's good to see. Last week we saw a vamp up of the Firefly Funhouse, which was like five or six, I want to say, and I'm not kidding, I think there was like five or six segments of the Funhouse in some capacity, which I liked. And then this week it was just like full-blown Bray Wyatt on there. I'm excited, to be honest with you, man. I hate to mark out like that, but I am definitely like excited with where they're going with this. I am a little worried that this match is actually going to end up turning into a triple or a fatal four-way match. But in any event, I still think that it's still going to be a compelling story that they're going to be able to tell. Next week they're hinting like at the Miz is hinting at or not hinting but is going to be hosting his talk show with Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, and I'm thinking to myself like we've seen the Fiend decimate like legends repeatedly after repeat, like week after week after week, or every other week he's decimating a legend. I still don't know what that connection is and why he's doing it. I feel like that's a separate storyline in itself. Next week, I'm hoping that the Fiend does intervene and takes out one of the legends. It's got to be Hogan. I'm hoping that it is Hogan. I'm worried about Ric Flair. I don't think he should be taking bumps. But that might actually happen next week. Who knows? It should be interesting. I know that most people are going to be have their eyes glued to it. I will say, before we go into, the next thing, I will say that I like this hook that Raw is doing with Bray Wyatt, especially because they needed something to keep the audience hooked throughout this football season, and I thought that they did a very good job between last week and this week by giving us the hook. Last week it was the Fiend comes in at the very end and doesn't attack Seth Rollins, but just kind of hovers over him to try to scare him. And then this week we get kind of the same thing, but we get him attacking Braun and I absolutely love it, man. They keep up the good work. I'm one of the few that thinks that they're not going to mess up his storyline, and I'm definitely happy about that. So, King Corbin, we finally get King Corbin, and it is everything that I wanted it to be. The Black Scepter, the Wolfbane that's going over the shoulder. Like, I absolutely love this. Like, I've always been a mark for Baron Corbin post NXT. I like the way the dude carries himself. I like the fact that he's always scheming. It's exciting, to see him and Chad Gable go at it, and they have such great chemistry in the ring. I like it. Like, I absolutely like it. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think on Monday on Raw, I don't know if he had debuted the... No, yeah, it was, he did debut, because last week is when he came out of Raw, and I'm getting my weeks mixed up here. But yeah, with the Black Scepter and the Game of Thrones-ish kind of look, I'm sold. I am definitely sold. So it looks like that they're going to have this storyline with Baron Corbin as the king for a whole long time. Shout out to Veronica211 on Twitch. Hope everything is going well with you, and thanks so much for joining the podcast. I'm interested to see if this storyline just revolves around him and Gable, or if this is going to go further around other people. My suspicion is that they're going to kind of play it the same way that Sandow and Cody Rhodes did with the briefcase all those years ago, which was iconic in my opinion. Absolutely loved that storyline. And if they do, that's good. It gives both of them shine, which is a good thing. And I love that it's crazy because I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, Raw Simmons Smackdown from the guys at Smackdown Radio podcast. You guys know who y'all are. And they were saying that, what was it that they were saying? They were saying that, I lost my train of thought there. Your boy, I'm all over the place. Y'all go check us out, irwb.com. I like the chemistry that those two have in the ring, and I'm hoping that transforms into something else. Lacey Evans had a match with Ember Moon, and I thought this was kind of interesting. I like Lacey Evans a lot. I think that I love her look. I love the way that she wrestles. Very old school. It reminds me of that old golden age of wrestling, and I absolutely loved it. Her chemistry with Ember Moon was actually pretty good. I don't know where the storyline is between her and Natty. I'm assuming that this is probably something this is probably something that usually gets cut from Hulu. And that's probably the reason why I felt kind of lost with this particular storyline. It seems like it's a move for move thing. One of the things that I did like is that she tried to put on the sharpshooter, but apparently it looked like she botched it, which in my opinion, I don't think she botched it because, being the mark, I think that she does it. Because Natty had made a comment on there saying that, I'll show her how to really put on the sharpshooter. So I thought that was pretty cool. And interested to see where that goes. I do think that Lacey's fall after the Becky Lynch saga is kind of like she's in that EC3 territory right now where she just doesn't have an identity any longer, and she's just kind of floundering, and it's at no fault of her own. It's just she doesn't have a compelling story to go around, and it's more of a detriment to the division than it is anything else, because if you can only write compelling stories that revolve around the belt, then you've got a problem. And I've said this, you know, before, not it's not systemic to the women's division, but I think that that's one of the issues that WWE has, in my opinion, is that they do such a great job and they put so much investment when it comes around the title that they don't know what to do with the other talent that do not have storylines that are revolving around it. I think the only exception to that is the Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns storyline, which we'll talk about when we get into SmackDown. But I'm hoping that gets fixed. I think that they're showcasing a lot of different talents among the brands to kind of promote the whole brand split kind of thing again, which is crazy because we had the brand split and then we didn't have the brand split, and now we're having a brand split again after not having it for like 4 weeks. So it's a mess. It is definitely a mess, but it'll get better. I've got confidence that it definitely will get better. The AOP, you know, another promo package. It seemed kind of similar how it was for the last week or 2 weeks, where they're doing like a sit down one, but this time they kind of walk out, attack somebody in the hall. I think it was like Heath Slater and somebody else, and then they walk back into their interviewing room and kind of finish conducting it. So I don't know what they're doing with AOP. I'm thinking that Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler are gonna end up dropping the titles to somebody, and once they drop the titles to somebody, AOP will contend for it. They're probably gonna drop the titles to the Viking Raiders or wherever they're called now, and then the Viking Raiders are going to end up feuding with AOP for a couple of months, and then that's how that's going to go. So, which that's perfectly fine, because that's, you know, that's something that WWE needs to really, really work on. Ever since the Usos left, it seems like the tag team division has just floundered like completely. You know, they've got two or three good tag teams there, but they're on separate brands, you know, we didn't even see the Revival this week, which was crazy. And they're the SmackDown champions. Don't understand why they didn't show up, but that, you know, that it is what it is. They'll probably show up next week. I don't even know who they're actually feuding with outside of the New Day. Now that, you know, Kofi's not involved with Randy Orton. So, but yeah. So the Raw, you know, it did what it needed to do. I liked the closing of it. I liked Braun Strowman versus Seth Rollins and the Fiend coming in and attacking Braun. And I liked that Braun tried to get up and then Bray attacked him again. So this is the thing. 4 weeks ago, wherever the Hell in a Cell venue is being held, that venue came out and said that, hey, it's going to be like a Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman for the Universal title. And, you know, in the past 3 weeks, we've been led to believe that it's only going to be Seth Rollins. Now I'm thinking that it isn't going to be just Seth Rollins. It looks like that it is going to include Braun Strowman. Which, it's fine. They usually do this when they want to hit somebody with a pin and make the other two people look strong. In this case, Rollins will probably escape with the title, which won't diminish the Fiend. Which I'm not exactly okay with that, to be honest with you. I don't think that the Fiend should take any type of L's in any capacity, but it, you know, that might be something that they do, but you know, we'll definitely have to sit back and figure. We'll have to figure that out, or you know, wait and see how that rolls out. But I'm okay with the three-way. I'm still wondering if somehow AJ gets involved in this type of match, and I could see that. I could see the club interfere in this match or in costing them. But then that's just too many. That's too many cooks in the kitchen. I don't know. This whole thing is a mess. I feel like there's so many swerves and so many potentials of swerves that we just don't know how this is going to happen. But it'll be interesting. I think next week we should get some type of indication on what direction they go. If AJ doesn't cut another promo where Seth Rollins is around or involved, I think we should be okay, but you know, who knows. 24/7 title did change hands on Raw, which was pretty interesting, but we'll talk about that more on SmackDown. SmackDown actually opened up the show with Daniel Bryan coming out and basically calling out Rowan. I take that back. Rowan came out, cut a promo. I think he cut like a 3 or 4 minute promo, and then Daniel Bryan came out and they ended up having a match. And I actually did enjoy this. I like, even despite the crowd giving Rowan crap, I like the fact that he can talk on the mic. And I like that Daniel Bryan came out and kind of made this into something. Chicken crap into chicken salad. This is exactly what he was doing. And I thought he did a great job at it as well. Again, Daniel Bryan has got to be in that conversation of GOAT. Like, the dude he can do no wrong. I am invested in this match because I don't know where it goes. Like, after this match ended, Luke Harper came out and just, you know, started attacking Daniel Bryan. Roman Reigns comes out. You know, the whole 2-on-2 ends up happening. Of course, that's going to be the match that we're going to get at Hell in a Cell. But I feel like it's too obvious that Daniel Bryan's going to end up turning on Roman Reigns, and Daniel's going to say, aha, I was the mastermind of it all along. I feel like that's going to happen, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, this is so weird because Rowan and Luke are not the Bludgeon Brothers. Like, they're not acting in the capacity of Bludgeon Brothers anymore or under the moniker of it. So, like, something is missing. And I want to believe that it's Daniel Bryan in this equation. But I don't know. I feel like a mark right now. That's the best part of wrestling, is when you can't telegraph what exactly it is that's going to happen. But I will say I am intrigued. And I do like Roman Reigns in this type of role. I think he does really well when he's in an actual storyline. I just don't like him around the title. Now, this can't be like this forever. We have to remind ourselves as a wrestling community, he's got to get an opportunity to fight for the title. My thoughts is that Roman Reigns is going to end up on SmackDown after this draft, opposite side of Brock Lesnar. He's going to be the guy who takes the belt off of Brock Lesnar. I do think that next week, going into Friday Night SmackDown, it is going to be Kofi's last hurrah. The belt is going to come off of him. I just don't think that they're going to... I don't think that they're going to have him go, Kofi go over Brock Lesnar, but at the same time, I don't think that they would prolong this for another month into Survivor Series. It just doesn't make any sense. But I don't think the feud with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns is actually over yet. So we got to... There's a lot of moving parts going on right now. The stories are just kind of like all over the place, but I do truly believe that after next week, it's going to kind of come back together. So Sasha and Bayley end up having a tag team match. Well, on Raw, Sasha had a match with one half of the tag team champions, Nikki Cross. That match was amazing. Sasha won on that. But I've noticed, and I said this 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to say it again, Bayley is taking too many bumps for Sasha. Like, week after week, she's taking at least two bumps for Sasha in the name of her friendship. And I feel like this is going to bite us in the butt. But the problem is that if you have Bayley turn on Sasha, you risk the chance of Sasha, like, turning face. And it's way too soon for that. Like, we should not even be worrying about Sasha turning face until 2021, 22. And that's just my opinion on it. So, but I don't know. But then part of me thinks, because they have constantly been, Sasha and Bayley have constantly been in the tag team picture in one capacity or another. They've been in the tag team picture. I'm thinking that they're going to try to hold all the women's belts, for the exception of the 24/7 title, which Carmella currently has. And I'm okay with that. I like that concept of them just totally and utterly dominating the women's division going into the new year by holding all the belts. People said that they were crying because they lost the belt. Well, they're going to be the first women's champions to have it two times, and they're going to run roughshod on everyone. And I like that Bayley is playing the whole cowardly role of, taking off the turnbuckles and doing dirty tricks and things like that. I like it. Like, I like it. And I like it that she does it in the name of her friend. And I like when she comes down to the ring, she's still friendly with the audience. I like it. And I know that there's going to be a time where Bayley is just going to snap on everyone. It's going to be epic. And I cannot wait for that to happen. But right now we cannot treat her like a heel, which I don't want to. Like, I honestly don't want to. I like the smugness, and I like the fact that she's, I just like it. On SmackDown, they were fighting Charlotte and Carmella. Carmella ended up eating the submission, and then the women came out after her for the 24/7 title and didn't get it. I don't know how I feel about the 24/7 title being on the... it's weird. Like, the 24/7 title on the guy's side, like, I get, because, like, there's so much talent on the guy's side that just are not utilized at all, and they get some type of face time on there. With the women, I don't like it, and I don't like it because I feel like all the women who are quote-unquote chasing for the 24/7 title, like, they're elite, in my opinion. And when I say elite, I mean that, like, I feel like the title is beneath them. Like, they are more valuable than that 24/7 title, and it feels like it's a mockery. Like, I know it's supposed to be comedy relief and everything like that, but it falls flat. And I worry that it may damage their brand, and that's the last thing that I want. But, you know, we'll see. It would be nice. It really would be nice to see that belt, like, on NXT UK or NXT, like, at least once a month. I mean, that belt and the women's tag team belts were supposed to be defended on all brands, and I think that we've only seen the women's tag team belts actually on NXT. The women's tag team belts on NXT, but only, like, because they were in the crowd, not that they were defending. So, you know, I hope that changes. Like, I really do hope that changes, but, you know, we'll see exactly how that happens. Next week is going to be the go-home show, and I am definitely interested to see I'm definitely interested to see what all comes out from there. I only know of maybe one or two matches that have actually been confirmed and announced, which is, you know, the Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus the Bludgeon Brothers. We have Bray Wyatt and, or the Fiend, I'm sorry, versus Seth Rollins. And we may get that may go into a triple threat. And that's it. And AJ and Cedric, I think, is a gimme on there as well. But if the title is going to change hands, that title needs to be on the main card. It does not need to be on the pre-show. So we'll see. We got a lot of time between now and then, so we just gotta have patience. Just gotta have patience. So. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that was it. I still think that wrestling is going to be very interesting next week. Like I'm worried about the fatigue that the community will have because of so much wrestling between the weeks. It's like, you don't even get a day off. You got Monday Night Raw, then you have NXT and AEW. And I don't know if I think 205 Live may still come out on Tuesdays. I don't know. We don't even know what's going to happen with that. That one's kind of just been hanging in limbo right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one rolls out. And then we have Friday Night SmackDown on there as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. I am thinking about moving the podcast to Fridays now that, and that's going to be crazy because it'll literally be right after SmackDown. Yeah, but we'll iron it out. By next week, I'll definitely iron it out and figure out what it is that we're gonna do. So, other than that, I think that kind of completes it for the week, guys. Definitely want to hear from you guys. Let us know how wrestling was for you and the things that you guys enjoy in wrestling. Hit us up at Twitter at Real WrestleCast on Twitter. You want to help support the show? We got some merch. So at the, you know, in the video, we got our link for our merch site. We got some 3 new designs. So go ahead and check those out. You can also hit us up at Patreon, patreon.com/IRWP. Help support some ongoing projects that we have going on there. Instagram, it's Real Wrestling Podcast, all spelled out on there. If you want to be a guest on the show, any time of the week, let us know. We're definitely a fan of putting our jobbers on, as well as community members, wrestlers, producers, stagehands. Like, if they're involved in wrestling in any capacity, we definitely want to hear from you and have the aspiration to have that interview, get to know you, understand where you're coming from. So if you're ever interested in being on the show, just hit us up on any of our social channels and get in touch with us. We'll get that set up. With that being said, guys, I'm your boy, Sage the Mark. I appreciate everything that you guys do. Thank you so much for listening. If you're on the audio podcast, make sure you guys jump onto YouTube and subscribe there and tell us that you heard from us on whatever podcast catcher that you got. We want to definitely hear from you. 500 subscribers is what we're trying to get to on YouTube to give away that $50 gift card, but we can't do it without your help. So make sure that you go onto youtube.com, search for your boys, It's Real Wrestling Podcast, hit that subscribe button, like one of our videos in the comment section, tell us where you're from, we'll get you into that contest. With that being said, love one another, respect one another, because if you don't, your boy says the mark is going to come out after you, and that's a fact. Y'all know the drill. Keep it real.